The world we know is changing. Welcome to Biotech Nation. Today on Biotech Nation, a rare genetic cardiovascular disorder, HCM, but not so rare in that it is the leading cause of sudden death in young athletes. I asked Tasos Giannoukakos, the CEO of MyoKardia, to explain.
HCM, it may be the most common rare genetic cardiovascular disorder. It is a disorder that affects about 1 in 500 people generally around the world. So in the U.S., that would be around 600,000 Americans. And these folks are born with a genetic alteration in one of the proteins, a mutation otherwise, in one of the proteins that encodes for the contractile machinery in the heart. So in the heart, the muscle, it's a little engine, and it converts our metabolic energy, the food that we eat, into contractile work. And there's a force of contraction that happens. So there's maybe 7 or 8 different proteins that are in the business end of making that occur. These patients, unfortunately, have altered function of those proteins. The consequence of that is overcontraction. So the heart rate is the same. Blood pressure for these patients are the same. They don't have any other issues. And the squeeze in the heart is just too much. So as the squeeze is too much, the heart starts adapting. So this pressure that this genetic alteration provides, the heart starts thickening. It gets stiffer and thicker. And ultimately, this disease ends up with a big, thick, stiff heart and very small chambers. So very little blood is actually flowing around. The consequences are severe. People, you often hear of athletes who die on the playing
right
field.
Right there, boom.
This is what they have in most cases. So it's the number one cause, HCM, of sudden cardiac death in people under the age of 30. There are no approved therapies. More often, you have decades of debilitating heart failure symptoms leading to arrhythmic disturbances like atrial fibrillation or leading to stroke or dying of heart failure. So the way that physicians care for these patients today are, if you're fortunate enough to be diagnosed, and the diagnosis rates are not great because you're generally looking at an adolescent or an early adult, a young adult who presents with symptoms like shortness of breath. So they're often misdiagnosed with asthma or with an upper respiratory infection. The disease just worsens. But the future here will change, and MyoKardia is trying to help do that. So once these patients are caught in the system, they're monitored. They're put on often old, off-label drugs that treat the compensatory responses of the heart. They're not getting at the disease itself. And the
what
disease,
are they trying to do, like lower the blood pressure?
Exactly.
Anything to take the stress off the heart.
Exactly. And the way that physicians talk to the patients and understand what's best for them is through conversation. Let's try a little bit of this. How are you feeling? Do you feel like there's symptomological improvement here or not? Often these patients will progress. And when they do progress, the physicians are left with very few options outside of these invasive open heart procedures and surgeries. One such procedure is called a myectomy, where a very skilled surgeon will come in and essentially carve out some of the thickened muscle to alleviate some of the excess pressure and open up the ability of the heart to pump more blood, or transplant. So these are folks who are really in desperate need. And because it has been essentially a smaller impact relative to other cardiovascular indications we hear about a lot, or other cardiovascular diseases like hypertension or lipids, et cetera, the community hasn't paid – the pharmaceutical, biopharmaceutical community hasn't paid a lot of attention to these diseases. So today the context is shifting where we're making advances in identifying these patients and understanding what causes these diseases. I think MyoKardia is at the forefront of making these advances, and the context is right now for us to bring some important new therapies to help physicians and the patients and their families who – this is a genetic disease. You have a 50% chance of passing this genetic alteration onto your children.
Can we see that genetic – can we do a genetic test and see it?
We can. We have the ability to identify. We now know there are a handful of mutations that we have determined are pathological and lead to disease. So there are tools out there, and those tools As genetic sequencing and testing becomes cheaper and technologies are just moving at a fantastic pace there, we ought to get to a point here where we're able to sequence everyone. And routine genetic testing should identify those who are at risk of these devastating diseases.
Now, you're working on a therapy. What does it do?
So what we've been able to do, based on a lot of the research of our very prominent scientific founders and the work that now our company is doing, we're just here in South San Francisco, and we've got 70 just passionate and really driven scientists working on these devastating diseases. We've been able to identify the source cause of these changes in contraction. We've designed these small molecule drugs, so this would be a pill that people would take, that we believe has the ability to offset the negative effect of these genetic changes that these patients have. In other words, it will dampen the effect of the mutation and return the patient's cardiac contraction back to normal. So if we're able to address this problem at its source, we believe that we'll be able to eliminate a lot of the downstream issues that we see, the heart thickening, the excess squeeze that we get, these arrhythmic disturbances. And so far, we've been generating, we're about a four-year-old company. We have a growing body of evidence in the clinic, in human subjects, as well as in really important disease animal models that give us a reason to believe these medicines are on the right track. We've shown in important animal models that we can actually reverse the impact of this disease and return the heart to normal contraction. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to show in the coming years the same in patients who are suffering.
So we have sort of two treatment options here. One is if we know early on, we may be treating you as you grow up. And if you have the condition, you may in fact be able to lessen, if not go back to a normal situation.
In the future that we're working hard to help enable in the ways that we can, we should be able to identify people very, very early, pre-symptomatically, and then monitor them. One of the wonderful aspects of cardiovascular medicine from a drug R&D and a patient surveillance standpoint is all of the non-invasive imaging that is really fantastic, echocardiography and MRI. So if we know that you have this mutation, we'll be able to direct you to your cardiologist at a frequency that's appropriate to have a look and see non-invasively what's going on. And so once we start seeing some telltale signatures that the heart is starting to change its behavior due to these mutations, we can intervene early. Now, of course, we're studying patients who have disease established already, and based on some of our early research in animals, it does look like we may have the potential to help those patients as well and reverse and get the heart back to normal. The heart in other contexts has shown the ability to adapt, and it can remodel, and we're really hopeful that we'll be able to see some of that in the coming years as well.
Now, is this something that you treat once, or is this something that you need to treat over the life of the patient?
The current therapies that we're developing would be daily chronic pills that you would take throughout life. And we're evaluating now exactly what the right dosing frequency would be, but you would still have the mutation, and you would still be in a position to pass that on to your children. But hopefully we will be able to treat this in a way where it would not impact life and folks can return to normal daily activities, engage. These are patients, by the way, that struggle to get across the parking lot to go grocery shopping by and large, and really start getting disconnected from daily activity and lose years of their life due to the disease. If you're fortunate enough to miss the early sudden cardiac death episode. So that's where we want to be with these therapies, is really getting folks back and eliminate this fear that they have that at any moment, at any turn, upon exertion, I might have something really bad happen to me.
So you're already in humans.
We are conducting a handful of phase one studies now in healthy subjects as well as in HCM patients.
Do no harm.
Exactly. And we're being very careful, of course, how we're engaging. This is new science in a disease area that has not been studied in this way before. And so it's important for us to learn about the disease and to progress very thoughtfully, balancing that with the urgency to get important medicines out to these folks who have children and siblings who are suffering from it. We're now in phase one, and we are looking, though, at safety, tolerability first and foremost. But because we're able to use echocardiography and MRI, we can get glimpses of important measurements that we believe give us a signal as to whether or not we're impacting the disease. So, for example, we can measure the squeeze in the heart, and cardiologists have a number of different ways with echocardiography to look at that. We can look at the wall thickness of the heart. So there are some measurements that give us confidence that we are starting to move in the direction to help restore normal function. And of course, in collaboration with the FDA, we'll determine exactly what the appropriate measurements are. There haven't been no approved drugs here, so we can't look at a precedent for this and say this is the measurement that will lead to an approval, but we're working closely with them to get there.
To get out there in front, fix it.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great idea. Tassos, thank you so much. Please come back. Keep us updated, won't you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Tassos Giannoukakos is the CEO of MyoKardia. More information is available at MyoKardia.com. That's Myo, M-Y-O, Kardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, MyoKardia.com. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Mahler, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Anne Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are productions of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Landcore.